friends with beer?
My God, that's a long modem.
I was just going to say, that takes a long time to connect.
I have a shorter one. Of course, after listening to the first one and then me playing that, anyone can be forgiven for not feeling like it felt was shorter.
Yeah, I think we should go with the quicker connect times next time. You know, if we just connect at like 300 baud, I think that's fine. We don't need to wait for the 56k VDOT, you know, whatever.
VDOT insert protocol here.
What was it? What, VDOT 34? Is that what
there,
I'm thinking of?
There was VDOT 56. There was VDOT.
There was VDOT.
VDOT 56
else,
was the one that went ba-dang, ba-dang.
Bong, bong. Yeah, I remember that.
Sound like a twanging then, sound.
Yep. There was another VDOT fast or VDOT everything. You know, there were a few of those.
Well, I think VDOT fast was what originally got ousted and well, I can't remember. Is VDOT,
VDOT everything supported that and VDOT 54?
56.
Or VDOT 56?
Yeah, I think VDOT fast and VDOT 56 were two competing standards, and eventually VDOT 56 won. Anyway, we haven't even talked about who we are. Let's pretend this is the first one, because in all honesty, me going back and trying to salvage what we've done before seems highly unlikely if this sounds good at all.
Yeah, wait, are you talking about previous recordings of this episode, of this show, or are you talking about previous podcasts that we've done?
Both.
Okay, because either one seems equally applicable.
Yeah, I'm going to delete anything with our voices on it that I can find.
That's a lot of podcasts.
Hi, I'm Scott Wilsey, and this is Peter Nicolaitis, my friend.
What's up?
We are friends with beer. We're also friends with each other. We've been friends with each other probably longer than we've known that we're friends with beer.
So, yeah, I guess, I mean, that's a bit of a play on the name of the title of the podcast, but I had thought that the title would be, like, friends.
Comma with beer?
Comma with beer, not that we are friends with beer.
Right, but here's the problem. I don't think a lot of Americans understand the distinction, if I might be so bold as to potentially insult some of our listeners.
And you might.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, go ahead. Potentially insult them.
Oh, no, I don't think that a lot of people understand the distinction. And a podcast title looks a hell of a lot better without a comma, so.
Yeah, well, I got that. I'm pouring. So I already opened my bottle a while ago because it needed to warm up some.
Oh, so that's the opposite of problem that people usually have with beer. But I guess you had yours in the freezer.
No, I had it in the refrigerator, but this is a beer that is best drunk at around 50 degrees.
I don't think beers should get drunk. I think the people drinking the beer.
See, here we go again with the comma.
Oh, sorry.
This beer is best, comma, drunk at 50 degrees.
What's the comma saves lives joke? I don't remember.
I don't know. All I remember, I only remember the one about helping your Uncle Jack off his horse.
Yeah, well, there's one where if you don't use the comma, the kid dies. I don't remember.
Well, anyway, tonight, my beer, after I threatened to for several episodes, which are in the can, apparently.
Okay, just to remind the listener, Peter Nicolaitis is about to state his beer.
A double chocolate Three Philosophers from Omegang Brewery in Cooperstown, New York. And this is one of my favorite beers of all time. And the reason is this is like an event for me. I can't just drink one of these because it's 9.7% alcohol.
Right.
So this is a commitment. So I've pretty much trashed the entire evening dedicated to this beer and this podcast. So I hope you and you, dear listener, appreciate the sacrifice I am about to make. So to you, cheers.
Peter, not only do I appreciate the sacrifice that you've made with your beer and your friendship and your time, I appreciate the sacrifice that you made with your effort to get set up for this recording. Ugh. I really do. I really appreciate that. Now, I'm Scott Wilsey again, in case the people haven't learned our voices yet. I'm the one who was charitably described by a listener to a different podcast of mine as the nerdy-sounding guy.
Well, I mean, that's a step up, right? And that's a step up from a voice for print, right?
Well, he went on to say other things, but I won't repeat them here.
Oh, well, he started off, you know, gentle.
He started off with the best.
It's kind of blurry. Can you hold it up, like, right in front of your face?
Yeah.
And back it up a little bit.
This is a Three Creeks Five Pine Chocolate Porter.
So it's interesting. Three Creeks as in C-R-E-E-K-S?
Right. That's right.
Because this is a, let me see, this combination. This is a blend of a Belgian quadruple and a Creek ale, K-R-I-E-K.
K-R-I-E-K?
Yeah, it's a type of, like a fruity type of beer.
I didn't know that. So we've both got chocolate, we've both got Creek.
Bingo, exactly. And that was not planned.
No, it was not.
Which is kind of cool. Now, what's awesome, though, is this beer is something that is best enjoyed with some fine foods. So to go with it,
oh wow,
you're I have me. Some cherries.
Oh my gosh.
Dark red cherries.
Peter, you're romancing yourself tonight, aren't you?
And, well, I am alone tonight. Well, with you, but anyway. And some dark chocolate covered almonds.
Those are beautiful.
They are, and they're going to pair very well with this beer. So anyway, this is a very limited edition dark chocolate, double chocolate roasted version. And they, coincidentally, they use Taza Chocolate, which is based right here in Somerville, Massachusetts, one town over from me. Wow. So, like I said, this is just not a beer, though. It's not a beer that is taste. You don't just pull this out of the fridge and crack it open, because number one, it's too warm. And number two, it's best served with some kind of good tasting food. So on that note, I'm going to eat a cherry and have a sip of beer. And I'll let you talk for a bit.
Well, I'm so glad that when you started your sentence with pull this, that it didn't go where I thought it was going. I'm glad that it was just pulling it out of your fridge. You should never pull your beer out of where I thought you were going to pull it out of. Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about this podcast, because apparently this is episode one, even though it's like episode three. But you know what? Everyone needs an unreleased back catalog that shall never see the light of day. And a lot of people might argue that our released catalog should never see the light of day, but this is a podcast in which Peter and I get together. We have a nice conversation. We have been friends for many years, and we don't get to talk as much as we like. So we have been talking, and we thought, let's do a podcast out of it. We've done lots of other podcasts. Peter, as all of his fans know, we were just dealing with his fans a minute ago. We had to push them off to one side. His fans know that he was on the Fresh Ubuntu podcast.
Yes. Back in the day, we had 10,000 listeners when 10,000 listeners was actually a thing.
And what were you, Galactic Overlord, Supreme?
I was nominated Supreme Galactic Overlord. Yeah, I'd have to go back and find those exact episodes where Zerg challenged me to a fist fight. That was kind of interesting.
Didn't you have something about the technology in your title too, though? What was it?
Probably. Exactly. Honestly, I'd have to go back and listen to some of those episodes. Sorry, I'm eating another cherry right now.
And now you currently have a podcast that is still active called Blurring the Lines.
Correct. That one is one that I co-host with my friend Adam Bell.
That's right.
And he's down in Nashville, Tennessee. You, however, are up on the left coast.
I am on the best coast.
You're on the best coast. I'm on the least coast. And Adam is 1 hour closer towards you.
Right. Now, here's the thing. The japes, the hilarities about the coasts. I don't really care, although I like kind of where I live, I guess. I have to live somewhere. Apparently I do. I'm a mortal being with a body. But I have a friend that lives in Kentucky who I do a lot of podcasting with, and him and Clay try to convince me that the Eastern time zone is the one true time zone. Now,
I think they're off by 5.
Exactly. Anything that is an offset of 0, it seems like, I don't know how you can even begin to justify that argument. Like,
I can sum it up in one word: America.
Oh, okay. Well, there's 3 A words I was thinking of that could have applied. Yeah.
let's skip the third one.
Okay.
I did throw together a few topics, but unlike our other podcasts, which are more structured, this is just like, you know, whatever. If we remember to talk about them, great. Because generally, when with friends, with beer, conversation just kind of tends to happen.
It does, yeah. A lot of times. And then somebody inevitably ends up with their face in the peanut bowl.
Right. And for me, actually, it's dark chocolate covered almonds today, not peanuts. But, you know, that might happen. So
okay. Either way, your face is going to be in your nuts.
So I did my first Bikram yoga class for a long time today.
Peter's a yoga instructor, by the way.
Oh, I am a yoga instructor, by the way, but I have not done Bikram for several years.
Explain your Bikram to me.
Well, actually, I found an online class, and I figured since it was 90 degrees and I wanted to be outside, why don't I do a hot yoga class outside? So that's what I did today.
Okay, when I hear the term hot yoga, I get really afraid. I feel like there's a crossover between people that do hot yoga and people that get caught up in a wild internet sting of child molesters. Am I wrong?
Okay. I can't say that you're completely wrong because there has been an intersection, but first off, hot yoga generally, not always, but generally what we know today as hot yoga came out of what was known or is known as Bikram yoga. Bikram yoga was founded by this dude, Bikram Chowdhury. So also, dear listener, the first thing to go when I'm drinking a good beer is my speech gets a little bit woo, and that's already happening because this is a strong beer.
I'm the same way, and it's proof that I've never been drunk on the job because I would never be able to hide it.
Bingo. So Bikram founded Bikram Yoga, which is this sequence, and it's always the same sequence done in the same order.
Seriously?
Yeah, it is.
There's no variation?
No, no variation. Nope.
Do they also refer to that as a vinyasa?
No, it is not vinyasa. Vinyasa is different. It's similar, but it's different. Ashtanga yoga also is a fixed sequence, and that's where vinyasas came from. But anyway, Bikram yoga is generally done in, like, I think it's 105 degree, supposed to be an indoor, in 105 degree heated studio. Bikram, frankly, is a scumbag. And a womanizer, accused of multiple counts of sexual assault, lots of really not shady, but completely underhanded business practices, and he fled the country.
Okay, so he was, I thought you said something about a woman, then I thought you were saying the woman was guilty.
No, he was a womanizer.
Idolatry or whatever you said.
Womanizer, him.
Okay. No idolatry.
So he took like a bunch of his Rolls Royces back to India and fled the country a few years ago.
Wait, was this guy called Rajneesh by any chance?
No, that's someone else. Okay. So anyway, so that said, his yoga sequence I still kind of like. And I'm not one of those people who throws the bathwater out with the baby in this case. I don't know if it's reversed. There are a lot of people who condemn him for his actions, which
rightly so.
I stand by.
Yep.
But then, you know, there's other good that he did by bringing, you know, he did help popularize yoga in the United States.
Oh, now it's starting to become clear to me.
Right. So he was like with, I don't even remember now. Again, beers kicking in. Might have been Jane Fonda, Madonna. He was like the yoga teacher to a number of stars in Hollywood. And he just kind of cleaned up over there. And that's how he became super duper popular.
Gotcha.
But it's also how, as a result, yoga became very popular in, you know, thanks in no small part to him.
Mm-hmm.
There were essentially like half a dozen people. Most of them Indian males who popularized yoga in the West. And they were responsible for the major offshoots of yoga that we have today. You had asked about vinyasa. That came mostly from Ashtanga, which was founded by Patabi Joyce. Also an accused womanizer and serial sexual assaulter type person. cough.
This is where, see, I'm not a person that wants to know anything about actors, anything about musicians.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to know because you're always going to be sad.
These people are why.
And I am not a person that can just say, well, it depends, right? Like if they're just a kind of a jerk, whatever. But if somebody is responsible for doing really bad things, but they also have an amazing body of work, I'm not one that can really separate that out too well. I'm going to think of it every time.
Let's say that one of them had found the cure for cancer and you had cancer and this guy was just a complete and utter scumbag. Would you take the cure for cancer?
Oh, I would absolutely take the cure.
Right.
Because then I could live to take my revenge upon their scumbagginess.
Well, what if he was dead?
Was it me that deaded him?
No.
Oh, well, that's disappointing.
Yeah. So that's my point, though, is that in my 200-hour yoga teacher training, one of my fellow students had been a victim of sexual abuse some time ago.
Right.
And their argument was that we should throw out anything to do with these people who committed these heinous crimes. And I said, if that was the case, you and I would not be here right now. We would not be talking because two of the men who arguably are responsible for creating the styles of yoga that led to the foundation of this studio were those guys. So therefore, we never would be here. Maybe we would have found some other form of yoga in some other studio, but we would not be here today if it wasn't for what they had done.
Right.
And I can say that, I believe, without elevating them to some sort of honorary pedestal. I can separate the man from the deed.
Well, when I say that I have a hard time separating it, I don't mean because I want to put them on a pedestal or think of them as a hero. That is definitely not it. Because if you have people that are genuine heroes, in the sense that we like to think of, you know, idols, heroes, whatever you want to call them.
And a lot of their students do think of them that way.
You're going to be disappointed.
Yes.
Now, here's what I like about yoga. I'm very new to it. I don't even know what kind of yoga I'm doing. I have Apple Fitness Plus. I'm doing the yoga sessions that they have on there. The thing about yoga is that it's friggin' amazing, man. Like, it has changed completely how I feel physically, and it has also changed my mental approach to life, which sounds like I'm being superlative here and making stuff up, but it actually isn't. It's a combination of things. It's not just the yoga, but it has definitely made a huge difference in my physical training regimen, like how my body feels, how my body recuperates, how my body gets ready for exercise. Mm-hmm. All of those things are so much better now because I'm doing yoga. That I can state 100% for sure, because I was doing years of the same exact training without yoga. And now I'm doing, you know, a handful of months with yoga, and it's made a huge difference.
Yep.
So yoga in and of itself, and I get that I'm being generic here, but it's pretty freaking amazing. Like, it does make a huge difference. So it is kind of troubling that something that is so beneficial and that does, I think, promote mental focus, mental peace, mental quietness, the ability to start learning how to, I don't know if you want to say meditate, but to focus in that particular way, that those things come from people who are obviously chaos machines.
But let me stop you there, though. They popularized it, and they may have refined it and stuff, but they didn't create it, right? So again, it's sort of like saying, if you like hamburgers, you know, you go to a restaurant and this guy cooks you an amazing hamburger, best burger with a side of fries that you have ever had before. Mm-hmm. And he serves you a beer, which is like the best beer you have ever tasted.
Right.
And then you find out after you've eaten all that the guy was a child molester.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're never going to go back to that restaurant again, but are you going to then swear off hamburgers and french fries and beer never again to eat those because that guy ate them? That doesn't make any sense.
Right. Know? And it definitely helps that person, it didn't spring from the mind of that person.
Yeah.
I gotta let my cat out of the room. Hold on.
That's the new cat. And he's the awesome cat. He's a little blurry because of the filter that Scott is using, but he doesn't seem to want to leave the room. Oh, now he's left the room.
How cats are. If the door's closed, they want out.
Yep. Door's open. He'll want back in as soon as he actually gets around to going out. So anyway, that's our philosophical discussion on yoga.
Anyway, I've found it to be incredibly beneficial. And it's like anything else. You really can't explain it to people. You have to do it. And it's one of those things where if you try to explain, you just come across as annoying.
I know. I've annoyed you on multiple times over the years.
One of my thoughts was, I wish I would have listened to Peter about this a long time ago. But anyway, it's never too late to open your mind to stuff that you, for some reason, didn't previously.
I will drink to that. Mm. And in fact, I will pair that with a dark chocolate covered almond.
Yeah. Oh, now my cat. He's still right there.
He's still right there.
Dude, he is awesome. This cat. Like, we've had athletic cats before, but this cat, his timing, his speed, his strength, he's just a badass, and he knows it too. Sometimes he will just swat a toy right out of the air. You fling it and you think it's going way over him, and you snap it real fast and you're right at his face, and he'll just smack it out of the air, and then he'll just go like, is that all you got? Yeah.
That's awesome. He's a good cat. He did finally go outside. Now, if you close the door, he'll want to come back in.
He sure will.
Oh, look at that back bend.
If I close it right now, I'm good. I know, he's a yoga practitioner. All right, I'm going to try to close it.
Yep, he's clear. Yeah, I was going to say, use your foot. Mule kick that door shut. Good job.
There we go.
All right. So, So that was the main-ish fun topic. So I am eating a couple of dark chocolate almonds right now, and that is going to up my cholesterol.
Oh, I was afraid you were going to talk about stomach problems and needing to run.
No, I'm taking the week off from running. This is my first rest week in several months. My coach tells me
stomach
I should
problems
take...
and running. I didn't mean run. I meant run. Like
two, no, not that kind.
Yeah.
So my running coach has told me, though, that I should take 1 week off per month, and I don't generally do that, but I'm taking off like more like 1 week off per quarter or so, and this
yeah,
is that
week.
Yeah,
1 week off a month sounds like a lot.
It does. I mean, now, this guy knows what he's doing. He's done like 50 milers and stuff like that, but I also maintain that everybody is different, so people have different needs and different
Definitely,
goals
yeah.
and intentions.
Yeah.
So
and different stages of life. You might find there are times where you do need that break more for a while.
This is one of those times.
Yeah.
So I'm taking the week off from running because it's just been so bloody hot here.
People are out in the street doing yoga naked and calling it hot yoga.
Calling it hot yoga, right.
Yeah.
But where I was going with that is I've got a blood test on Friday because I had my first physical in about a year and a half. About a week or two, almost 2 weeks ago because of COVID.
They're going to find a lot of chocolate in your blood.
Well, they found that my cholesterol is high, which has been the case for like years. It's always been a little bit high.
You are a healthy, fit man. What's with the cholesterol? You think it's hereditary?
I think it's at least partially hereditary.
Does it change when you change your exercise regime? Because like in 2018, when I started losing weight, my cholesterol plummeted. All my vitals got much better. My doctor couldn't believe it.
That's the thing is I've been in relatively good shape for the last several years.
Right.
Even though I've been running more as my principal form of exercise lately, nothing has dramatically changed. Like you can see my body has become a little more toned in this area and I'm a little, you know, thinner in that. But overall, I'm still in...
Peter, you don't have to show me your toned areas. I believe you.
I was just telling you. I wasn't going to show you.
Okay.
But my point is that I haven't changed dramatically.
Right. You don't have a... Like, for all we know, if you suddenly quit all of your fitness activities and you gained 40 pounds, your cholesterol might be actually lethal right now.
Who knows? So you're going to retest it again. But just for kicks, I was trying to be good.
Mm-hmm.
This week, I've been, you know, like completely avoiding red meats.
Yep.
I had some turkey today. I'll probably go all vegan except for a little bit of cream in my coffee tomorrow. And just see how that shapes up on Friday morning. See what happens. You know, how much of a variance, like, a few days can make in the diet.
By the way, there are days you send me a screenshot of your food tracker. We both track our calories. And you will have coffee with cream for breakfast, coffee with cream for lunch, and then you'll do like a 10-mile run or something, and then you'll finally have dinner.
And I say when you say with cream, that's usually like a teaspoon of cream.
Right, but how do you do that? Like my blood sugar would be so low. Now, there are times where if my blood sugar's low and I get on the bike, the first hour might be hell, or the first 45 minutes or whatever. I will feel shaky. I won't be generating a lot of wattage in terms of like I'm not burning as many calories as I should be, all these things. And then I will get a second wind and I'll do okay. But it sucks compared to normal. So how do you, are you a guy that doesn't have big blood sugar swings?
I don't think I do. And I think that I'm probably on not a 24-hour cycle. I'm probably more like on a 36 to 48-hour cycle.
Okay.
Because I've definitely gone through, you know, like times where I will just fast without, like, I would do like coffee. And that is something I've done for many years on and off. I'll just have coffee and nothing until dinner, for instance. But not feel hungry throughout the day, which is the interesting part. Not feel like, oh, yeah, I'm hitting, you know, because I struggled with my weight a lot as a child into adulthood. And I find that if I'm distracted, I'm not near food, and I have something else to think about, then I don't think about food. If I am bored and food is plentiful, I find myself eating a lot.
Right. Yeah.
So like on a day like today, my studio here is on my third floor and it's 85 degrees, even with the air conditioning on. I don't work up here. I work downstairs near the kitchen. There's an abundance of food and I'm near it all the time. So that's a struggle, you know, like to have to like, nope, let's stay away from there. Luckily, if it's a busy day at work, I'm focused on that. Otherwise, I find myself snacking a lot.
Yeah, same here. But it's interesting because I do have the days like you're describing where I can go without food and not really think about it. Usually what happens if I'm really busy at work and I'm deep into something, I just all of a sudden realize that I am irrationally angry and I have to go get some calories into my body.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have those rare days where I literally don't care. And then it's 8 o'clock at night and I really haven't eaten much and I'm totally okay with it. But I can't do that on a regular basis. And I really wish I could.
Yep. Because what I have found is the less I eat before a run, the better performance I have, the better shape I'm in.
I could see that. There is definitely a point to, like, for me, getting just enough that I'm not going to feel that blood sugar issue during my exercise, but no more. Absolutely no more.
And that's the thing is, like, I need generally, like, at least an hour after eating something light.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 hours after eating something like, you know, anything more than light. And like, I need a day. If I had like a huge, big breakfast, I'm not running.
How would you ride a Sentry where you're going to be stuffing your face on the bike once in a while? You just have no choice because you will run out of, you will bonk if you don't.
If I was doing a Sentry, I would be doing pieces at a time, you know, 100, 200 calorie cliff bars or something as I go along.
You're not going to sit down and eat a meal. Although some people go a little nuts at the break stops, but you don't have
to. Right, exactly. But I have found that. I mean, if I eat a lot, and this used to happen also always in the Aikido days, I would eat too much on our lunch breaks and I come back for the afternoon class.
That's
and
no good.
Could barely move, you know. So
especially since people were throwing you around and your stomach was probably angry.
Exactly.
So, very upset.
So I want to ask you. Okay. So I mentioned to you, I need to vent. So this is my forum. Cell phone carriers.
Yes, sir.
It's a race to the bottom when it comes to customer service.
Yeah, here's what I say to cell phone carriers.
Kiss my ass. Kiss his ass. Kiss your ass.
Yes. Bingo. So in April, I switched from Verizon to AT&T.
Mm-hmm. The V to the A.
And of course, AT&T managed to completely botch the handoff.
As they do.
They messed up the onboarding process totally. And after multiple hour-long calls, I had to end up going to a store, spend an hour there to get everything all squared away.
Mm-hmm.
Just this week, I got a letter in the mail from Verizon saying, hey, we've got this great deal for Verizon Fios customers. Now, I am a Verizon Fios customer, and I'm a very happy Fios customer. I'm not happy that I have to keep on calling them up every year or two and threaten to switch to get a better deal.
Unless they give you the price you were bloody well paying before.
Exactly. But other than that, as far as the service goes, it's been really good.
Sure.
So here's a deal now where they'll give me essentially the same price as what I pay for AT&T wireless right now. Instead of AT&T including HBO Max, Verizon is including Disney Plus, which I do pay for, and Apple Music, which I do pay for. And
sure,
it's Disney Plus Premium, which includes ESPN and Hulu. So it was nice getting HBO Max, but until all of the Time Warner new DC titles start coming out next year or so, it's not something I use a lot of. So I'm not really missing that. But Disney Plus, I was just watching Loki before this episode. I'm a big fan of all the Marvel stuff. Apple Music is what I use religiously because I want something I can stream to my Apple Watch.
Sure.
So this sounds like a good deal. While I was on the phone with the woman yesterday doing the transfer, explaining to her that I want to, I need to port my number over. And she was taking my address down. She was verifying my address to which they were going to send the new SIM card to use in my phone, which I was talking to her on.
Wait, which carrier is this?
I was speaking to Verizon coming from AT&T.
I could be mistaken, but Verizon doesn't need a SIM.
Sometimes they do. In this case, it does. And in this case, while I was talking with them, she completed the port of the number and the call dropped.
Oh, no.
Because AT&T immediately accepted the port and I lost cell phone service yesterday. And I had an after-hours upgrade scheduled for work. And my girlfriend was getting her new Tesla, and I had insisted on, not just offered, I insisted on driving her to the dealership to pick it up. So I was going to be out of Wi-Fi range. And that's when Verizon decided to do this. Now I'm like, it's a simple order of operations. Get the person the cell phone, port the number, right? Get the person the SIM, port the number. And this rocket scientist that I was talking to ported my number while I was on the phone with her.
Seems like a bad idea.
So the other reason, though, that I really moved to Verizon was that they were offering me $700 trade-in for this 1.5-year-old iPhone 11 that
I have. That's pretty good, I gotta say.
But I found out this yesterday. Guess what? I found out. And a $300 rebate on top of that.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So are they paying you to have a phone?
No. I needed to pay full taxes, and taxes on a $1,099 phone are like $100.
Okay.
And I needed to pay the remaining $100. So I ended up paying like $150 to get an iPhone 12 Pro Max.
That is beautiful.
And here's the funny part. That Pro Max should be here before the stupid replacement SIM card that they mailed me will.
I think what I might have been thinking about the SIM card was that I don't remember what it was. There was something about when we switched from AT&T to Verizon, AT&T was all hung up on the SIM card, and it might have been locked to AT&T. I don't remember. But when we went to Verizon, it was like, whatever. It was totally unlocked. You could put any SIM in there. I think that might have been the difference.
Right. So this phone was one that I got from Verizon in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gone from Verizon to AT&T. So they're like, oh, are we sure it's compatible? I'm like, you guys sent it to me, so I'm pretty sure it's compatible.
Right. Yeah, actually, it was the phone that I had before that when we did the switchover. This phone's always been Verizon. But yeah, here's the thing. Like, I was going to go back to AT&T at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the Apple store. They do the verification, right? They have to call AT&T or whoever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And AT&T asks you a bunch of questions. And they kept asking me, when did you live on such and such a street? And I couldn't understand what they were saying. I'm like, I never lived on that street. And they're like, okay, well, you're declined. And I'm like, I don't know what you were saying. Whatever you were saying is not a street that I lived on.
The funny part too, AT&T, one of the reasons I needed to stand there for an hour in the store was they wanted to do a credit check on me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm bringing my own phone.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I'm prepaying it. They wanted a credit check. So I had to call all three credit reporting agencies to unfreeze my credit.
Right.
While I'm on the phone, you know, while I'm standing there in the store. Verizon, they're like, no, you're good.
Yeah, exactly. Right. The thing is, I had been an AT&T customer not that long ago. And so I'm like, guys, check your records. You will see that I paid for years.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't run away. I didn't stiff you on any bills.
No, we can't do that.
Right. It's almost like their computers can't go back in time and look at previous records.
They can't.
Okay. Well, I guess you and I know nothing about computers then.
Mm-mm. We don't.
That's true.
So I'm still waiting. I have to check my email. But the other part was...
So are you still without phone?
I am without phone. I am without phone, but fortunately I have iMessage, so most people can text me. I also use Ring Central for my consultancy, so I can make and receive phone calls at the work numbers.
Okay, okay.
But so much stuff is set up to use my cell phone number.
Yeah.
I tried to log into the Sophos partner portal, and of course it's set to set up SMS.
Yeah, right now some package somewhere on a UPS truck is getting authorization codes.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So I can't find anything. And my Nest thermostat, for whatever reason today, decided it was time for me to re-authenticate. And that I had set up two-factor authentication using my cell phone.
OMG.
So that's annoying. The other part is, like, my phone hasn't shipped yet. So it might actually be a couple days.
Wait a minute. Not only did she do this in the wrong order, but now they are just dawdling around, twiddling their thumbs and not shipping you a phone to correct the problem.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So what I probably will end up doing is the same thing I did last time in 2019 after I had a horrific onboarding experience. I'm going to call them and complain multiple times and see if I can get better credits.
Right, but here's what you're going to hear on the other side of the line.
Yes, yes, I understand, but here's the thing. I don't care.
So I ended up getting like $500 or so of credits and discounts last time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. Why did I leave in the first place from AT&T?
Peter, why did you leave in the first place?
Because the Verizon plan I was on was 10 gigabytes per month shared by me and my father's cell phone and my Apple Watch.
Mm-hmm.
For the same price, AT&T gave me 100 gigabytes of LTE data and 30 gigs of hotspot. Now, here's the funny part. Coming back to Verizon, they're giving me 75 gigs of data and 30 gigs of hotspot.
But see, that's the problem with all of these carriers, whether it be land, internet, whether it be cellular, whatever. They always treat the incoming people so well, mm-hmm. and they just stiff the crap out of the existing people.
Which is why every now and then it makes sense to be an outgoing / incoming person.
That's right, even though it sucks. It shouldn't be that way. I would think as a business, what you would want is a loyal customer just in case they decide not to come back.
Yep. And that's one of the things. It costs a lot less to retain a customer than it does to get a new one.
It does.
And here they are, though. They're underscoring this. They're giving us super colossal benefits and deals all the time to win us or to win us back. I'm like, yeah, if you just hadn't sucked in the first place, you wouldn't have to do any winning me back. I'd still be here.
They could make more money on you over time if they just gave you a little bit better deal rather than having to woo you back.
Just a little. So on that note, I am curious, though. You did mention to me that you were, for the first time in a long time, really excited about the Apple Worldwide Developer. Excuse me. Burp. When you drink beer, sometimes you burp.
No, I get excited about WWDC, but...
But you said you were really excited about stuff. So I have two questions.
Okay. I'll answer them both to the best of my ability.
And one of them, you're like, this is boring. I don't want to talk about it. But unrelated to directly to WWDC, though, what do you think the next iPhone will be called? Because they're not going to do a 13.
Oh, I don't know.
There won't be an iPhone 13.
I don't know. Maybe they will.
I don't think they will.
I don't know. Maybe they'll just call it iPhone. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe that's it. They drop numbers altogether. It's just iPhone.
I mean, that's what they do with the Mac.
And they did that with the iPad, too.
Right. They do that with the iPad. The only designation on the iPad is iPad Pro, iPad Air,
yeah.
iPad.
Maybe but, it'll just yeah. be iPhone. Okay, that's my first question.
Yeah, but people have been predicting that for a long time and it hasn't happened. So I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
Because they did skip the 9. Why was there no iPhone 9?
Because the 8 was simultaneous with the iPhone 10.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird.
It was.
And after that... They completely dumped the... Well, I don't know, man.
Yeah. There's no telling what's going on in the mind of Tim Apple.
Well, let's just put it this way. Apple's been terrible with naming for a long time. Like the Apple XS Max, that's what I have. They're just dumb with names. I mean, come on.
And then two.
And they should have known that no one would think that it was a XS Max. Everyone would say X. So to most people, it's an XS Max.
Which I love because, again, when I was a kid growing up, my favorite rock band was NXS. So when I see the 10XS, I was like, that's awesome. I love it.
It's not like they didn't know that was going to happen because for years, people have been calling what is now Mac OS, but was previously Mac OS 10,
OS X.
NX. People have been calling it Mac. Yeah, people have been calling it OS X. That's right.
Yep.
So they knew that was going to happen. They absolutely knew that was going to happen.
But within their... super slick, immaculate white walls in Cupertino. No one ever referred to it as OS X, and therefore they did not know that was going
to
happen.
No, but speaking of white walls, I hate to put too much stock in my own criminology, but I do believe that Johnny Ive leaving Apple was not a bad thing for Apple. I definitely have come to that conclusion. Post-Johnny Ive, products are getting better again, I think.
I tend to agree. Would you say that Johnny Ive leaving Apple offsets Steve Jobs leaving Apple?
It's hard to say because I think Tim Cook started off as a really good CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And he still is in some ways, but I feel like the further we get in time from the death of Steve Jobs... Now, Steve Jobs wasn't perfect. Look, I've been following this stuff since the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one of the people that has this mythological idea about Steve Jobs, but he was an asshole, let's just be honest.
Sure. Just like Bikram. Well, maybe not a sexual offender.
Yeah, I don't, as far as we know, not that.
But an asshole nonetheless.
Right. He did try to deny his own daughter.
There's a mark of a truly great man.
But the further we get from that event, I feel like Tim Cook, and I think the bigger and richer Apple gets, I don't like the way they portray their every business decision in such self-righteous terms, like the way they they refuse to admit that their platform wouldn't be nearly as valuable without developers, and that they don't need, you know, they justify all these little business expenses that are really nothing more than them bleeding developers dry for money and really bad optics. And I think Tim Cook is a lot worse about that kind of stuff than Steve Jobs was. And I think it's getting worse over time. And I don't know if it's because Tim Cook is getting distance between himself and what he used to think, or if it's just because Apple's becoming a gigantic company and they have to keep growing because, you know, they're beholden to Wall Street, just like all American companies. And Apple's not a company that lives quarter by quarter, but I feel like they are definitely becoming a company that has to keep impressing Wall Street more than they used to care about.
You know, I think would turn everything around if at the next WWDC, Phil Schiller got up on stage and started yelling, "Developers, developers, developers, developers!"
Yeah. Does he have to sweat through his shirt too?
Hell yeah!
Okay. All right. I wonder if there's a Steve Ballmer sweat kit. Like, you can just drink something and it will just make your pores ooze sweat, or maybe you just spray something on yourself.
I have a friend who sweats like that whenever he eats hot, spicy foods.
Mm. Well, I do sweat when I eat hot, spicy foods sometimes, but it's usually the head. It's usually like my face or something.
So what I'm talking about is I had just done a 10K run and gotten in, and my friend had shown up. And I had not showered or anything, and I was, you know, like, lightly sweating. I was not gross. I was not even I need a shower. I'm blessed by one of those things is, like, I do not reek when I sweat, right? Now, if I don't, like, shower for 8 hours after I work out, that's different. But, like, if I just finish a workout, I don't stink.
See, I think I sweat a lot when I exercise beyond a certain point.
Right. Well,
like, if I just do yoga, I don't.
Yeah, well, it depends on the type of exercise, but I, like I said, I just done a 10K, so.
Right. Yeah, I would definitely need a shower, and some people might think I stink. I personally think I smell nice and minty fresh.
I have actually been told by external parties, not myself, that I don't stink after I sweat, so it's not just me.
Do they describe you as minty?
I have been told, damn, you smell good, and I was said, you know, you're right, you don't stink after you work out, you're not a smelly guy. So those are comments that I've gotten after a workout.
Do people get body parts uncomfortably close to your legs after you run?
If she's cute, I wouldn't stop her. But anyway, so my friend came over and we had chicken wings. And I made hot wings using various hot sauces. And after a couple of these, my friend was drenched. He had like the drenched V of sweat in the t-shirt thing going on.
Oh my God.
And I took pictures of the two of us side by side. And I was like, one of us just ran a 10K. Can you tell which? It was pretty hilarious.
I do seem to recall an iPhone video of you eating some hot wings one day, though, where you were getting pretty sweaty.
Oh, that was the one where I was eating. That was the Salt Hill Pub Wings Challenge up in Hanover, New Hampshire.
It was a challenge, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And I remember it because I said, you know, like, it's got a good flavor. It's too bad I can't take my time to enjoy it. And you said you liked how I was intimidating the wing by telling it that it tasted good and that I wanted to take my time to savor it.
Oh, gotta play mind games with the food, Peter. Gotta play mind games with the food.
So on that note, I have purchased all 10 of the Hot Ones Season 15 hot sauces.
Okay, I didn't know that hot sauces came in seasons.
The Hot Ones is a series. They publish it on YouTube, among other places.
So instead of Hot Sauce of the Month Club, you're in a Hot Sauce of the Year Club?
Kind of. It's they do seasons. I don't know that it's annual. Mm-hmm. But they do interviews. It's a good show. They interview, you can pick like some famous person that you like, and they will, you know, probably have an interview by this guy, Sean Evans, on the Hot Ones. And it's, they eat 10 spicy hot wings in increment, you know, in exponentially increasing level of hotness, and they ask interviews. So they have, like, off the top of my head, he's interviewed Scarlett Johansson, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Shaquille O'Neal, Idris Elba.
Oh my God, big people.
Yeah, these are not, you know, like, lots of big people. So it's pretty hilarious. And so I broke down and I just ordered season 10, like all the hot sauces. And I have them downstairs in my kitchen on display, just waiting for my next wing night, where I will be going through and eating all 10 of the wings in a row in escalating order of hot spiciness.
I gotta say, I didn't even know about that, but that is a much better podcast than what we're doing here. Because anyone can drink beer and not flame out. Well, not everyone, but...
Well, maybe we should have friends with beer and a wing next time, you know?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe we should set something on fire and eat it.
That sounds even better. On that note, I think this is a good point, a good time for us to wrap up this show. What do you think?
I think so, too.
So if folks want to get a hold of us, I believe there's a couple of places. I think the easiest for people to remember is friendswithbeer.com.
Yeah, and I swear to God I came up. Did I not make a Twitter account for this?
You did. I don't remember what it is, though. But if you
Isn't it beer.tweetback.us, I think?
I have no idea. But if you go to friendswithbeer.com, you will find us, and you will find a link to our Twitter account, which is friendswabeerpod.
Friendswabeerpod. And I also registered another domain, but Hover's going to make me sign in.
You did. You did like friendswith.beer or something like that, but I don't think people will necessarily remember that. But they will remember friendswithbeer.com because that's easy for them to remember.
You're like Vic. You hate the clever ones.
No, I like the clever ones, but I also know that people won't remember friendswith.beer, which, by the way, is the address that you register.
Okay. All right. Well, let me look. And let me see what our Twitter one is, because it should be in my Hover as well.
I said it's Friends Wabir Pod.
No. I registered. So I have tweetback.me, tweetback.us, and I think I pointed beer.tweetback.us to... Yeah, beer.tweetback.us will take you to twitter.com/friendswabeerpod. So if it's easier to remember, beer.tweetback.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Tweeting back at us.
.us. Slash.
No, tweet back at us. Tweet back at us. See, on Bubblesort, we have this whole tweet back thing. I don't know who started it.
Friendswithbeer.com.
Friendswithbeer.com will get you there eventually. And yeah. So
yeah. So
anyway, as far as we can be found.
As far as you're concerned, I'm everywhere.
Right. We're everywhere. But I think if they start at friendswithbeer.com, they'll find us.
I think so, too. Well, Peter Nicolaitis, I want people to understand that it's not always going to be yoga, AT&T, and it is always going to be beer. But we talk about a lot of things. We do. Technology.
We do.
You like running. I like biking.
I like biking, too.
No. Yeah, you do. You're a very avid mountain biker, especially.
I was mountain biking Killington this weekend.
That's right.
That was fun.
You should never kill. You should never kill while you're biking.
No, just did a ton of killing.
I'm wondering, now that I'm doing yoga, I bet I could do running again with much better results on my knees.
Ooh, that sounds like a challenge. I accept.
Nope, I'm not going to. I'm still going to bike. All right, well, this is great, and this will hopefully be episode one. I'm going to start editing this today. Today, my friend.
On that note, I think it's time to push the big red button.
Inconceivable!